Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It's time now to talk about streaming wars, the future of Asia. We've got Netflix, all of us, but Disney Plus is coming here February 23rd. Have your kids pissed at you to sign up yet?
Yes, they've been doing that for a while because we keep getting prompts and then then the prompt will come up saying, well, you're in the wrong region, and it's all very disappointing and a big letdown.
Okay.
But yeah, as of February 23rd, that won't happen anymore.
Excellent. So you've got the rise of OTT or over-the-top or video streaming platforms. That has significantly altered the TV landscape, you know, how we watch TV. You know, you have all new way of interactiveness, data insights, audience targeting. It's a brilliant system, if you ask me.
Yeah, really clever. And in an age where it's become more challenging to engage with audiences on, you know, the traditional mass media channels, the popularity of video streaming services gives brands new opportunities to reach out to consumers.
So how can your brand do that? How can it take advantage of that? Let's find out that and more with Greg Armshaw, a Senior Director, Solution Sales, Asia Pacific at Bright Cove. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot, Manisha.
This is going to be fun. We are talking about streaming wars. But I suppose, for starters, could you help us define OTT or over the top?
Well, I don't need to. You guys have just done it wonderfully. I think if you just think of television quality content, you know, being traditionally delivered by paid for aggregators like StarHub, Astro in Malaysia, or Feature Air broadcasters. OTT or over the top services, a streaming media service offered directly to viewers via the internet, so bypassing these traditional distribution channels. And as you pointed out, you know, most of your listeners would be familiar with Netflix, there's Disney Plus Hotstar, View, Amazon Prime. Also, there are Chinese players entering the region, including WeTV from the tech giant Tencent.
Yeah,
also, it's not just media companies.
Yeah.
At Bright Cove, we provide the technology to help anyone deliver high-quality video to their viewing customers, you know, from small startups or retailers through to the big media companies that we've just been talking about. And more we're seeing brands and enterprises, you know, seek to provide entertainment or utility in this way.
It's just fascinating, isn't it? It's brilliant. But when you see OTT, or when I see OTT, I think of the Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie. All right, everyone's in the same age group. There we go.
He's getting that acknowledgement. But you know, I love that Elliot brought that up because, Greg, one of the things, I think you and I sound like we come from the same part of the world. And for me, OTT, over the top, just means, like, it's too much, man. It's just retreat.
Yeah, very true.
It's a terrible acronym that comes from the telecommunications industry. If you remember a few years ago, if you had a mobile phone, the only content that you could actually consume on it was delivered by the telecommunications company, and the over the top basically, you know, talks about you know, the services that started to deliver when people connected to the internet, you know, through their mobile devices. So it is unfortunate in its different meanings.
Well, as I try to embrace the new meaning, I wanted to ask you about this report that Bright Cove released recently. It's called The Future of OTT in Asia. And in this survey, I was quite curious about the revelations that came up about where it's going. You've already mentioned that, you know, there are big Chinese players on the market, but I think what you've also alluded to, this isn't just the realm of media companies anymore.
Absolutely. We're seeing, you know, big growth in education. You may be familiar with MasterClass. If you are online, Manisha, it sounds like you get hit by a lot of advertising and you might be in the demographic. You know, some really famous people producing really great content, you know, at a price point that would never be available. You know, my son's really into basketball and you know, having access to Stephen Curry, the famous three-pointer shooter. You know, having him, you know, give a training session, you know, just for a few dollars, you know, makes it much more accessible the world over. And especially in this region, as you know, in Asia, we have a love of education and continual learning, and we're seeing a lot of growth in the education space. Also, across this region, you know, many people are not that close to really good retail. And, you know, we're very familiar with the different e-commerce stories around the region. But live streaming, live commerce, where, you know, somebody who's, you know, really passionate or well-educated and understands, you know, fashion or food, or, you know, are able to get communicate the benefits of their product directly to the customer. The customer can interact and ask questions live, and then, you know, it's just a click away from a buy. So we're seeing a lot of that growth. But it's not just, if you like, consumer services. We're seeing businesses managing to build, globally with access to video. One of our favorite customers at Brightcove is a company called Xero, and they sell accounting software. Mm. And using a strong video strategy, you know, they've grown to having 2 million customers globally, just allowing people to consume video to, first of all, get an understanding of what the product does, but also solve problems and answer specific questions.
Greg, I'm curious, what's the long game here? I mean, you talked about the Steph Curry videos, Masterclass and whatnot. That kind of price point that we have, and Disney Plus coming to Singapore at a price point I believe might be lower than Netflix. I'm not too sure on that. But with these low price points, what are they going for in terms of money making? How do businesses leverage on all this? Is it really just quantity?
So for instance, you know, people accessing the internet, I don't know whether you know that, but, you know, just in Southeast Asia alone, an additional 40 million people used the internet for the very first time, you know, just last year. So, you know, the growth of getting TV quality content, whether you're a media company or a business, it surpassed pay television, for example, already in many markets in this region. So, you know, it is about reaching bigger markets. And, you know, as with anything online, rights allowing, you know, if you are able to get online and deliver a great service, then, you know, all of a sudden there are, you know, multi-billions of people who could potentially engage with you. And of course, you know, there are multiple ways of making money online. We've talked about a little bit about advertising, or Manisha did, in terms of how Disney Plus is targeting her. But, you know, there's the advertising experience on these OTT services is exceptionally good, close to a TV-like experience. And so that's one business model. Another one is the subscriptions, as you say. But there are more and more experiences like content to commerce, being able to sell the services that people love in their favorite shows.
Yeah, you know something actually, Greg, that fascinates me is we're in Asia and you have some massive markets for this kind of content and these platforms that are really distinct. You know, the way that India will consume content is different to Indonesia, for example. That's different to China, Japan, Singapore. And so there is so much learning and different types of engagement that works across this region. What are some of the really interesting patterns or specific attributes that some of these markets have?
Yeah, great question. I mean, there are some real differences, and one is our love of the mobile phone. Mm. You know, for many reasons, whether it's the privacy of a consumption in a multi-generational home, or just the fact that, you know, in many markets in this region, we've leapfrogged where, you know, the mobile device is potentially, you know, the biggest consumer technology spend of an individual. And also, you know, the cost of the internet has just dropped. You know, India, for example, used to be one of the most expensive markets in the world, and now is the cheapest market, you know, per gigabyte of data. So we are very mobile centric. Additionally, we are, because of that, I believe, because of that mobile centricity, we're also, you know, get access to content via social media, whether it be through chat apps, you know, talking to our friends and family, or whether it be on the more kind of open social media platforms. That's how we find content. That's how we talk about content. And, you know, that's how we get excited.
I've got an odd question for you, Greg, and maybe it's speculative, the answer.
Go ahead.
But we keep talking about the growth of internet consumption or online consumption. I mean, we've been using the word grow and internet for years, maybe even decades. How much more growing is there, and when will traditional TV finally die?
So the growing. I mean, so if you look at internet access, so in APAC, or actually in Asia, we have over half of the global internet users now. But still our penetration is at 59%. So, if you look at, you know, mature markets, you would see, upwards of 80 or 90% in terms of internet consumption. So there's still quite a bit of growth in there.
Surprise,
you know, in this region, at tens of millions of people a year. And, you know, TV's not dying. It's just changing. But the most exciting part of TV is that the gatekeepers have been disintermediated. So, you know, whether if you've got a story to say, if you're passionate and an expert in a subject, then you can get access to an audience.
Right.
You know, whether you're from, you know, one of our favorite customers is from Mongolia, and they've got a service which services the Mongolian customer, but also Mongolians around the world. And as we know, in Asia, you know, we like to travel, so there are communities. You know, even if you have specific language content from any given part of the world, there are always an expat community that might even pay a premium to get access to that content.
Greg, I wanted to know, is it clear that there is a distinct return on investment with over-the-top services? And what is that? What is that relationship like?
Yes. Thank you for putting me on the spot. Look, I think there is, yes. I mean, the reality is that, you know, some of these smaller customers who size, you know, we're lucky enough at Brightcove to be in the position to deliver software technology which allows, you know, even a yoga specialist to build a business online, you know, so the technology costs are low. If you want to compete against Netflix, you know, who spend over $1 billion a year on their technology, never mind the money that they spend on their content, then, you know, that is a big challenge, and you really have to be, you know, the likes of Disney to do that. But there are markets who are interested in, you know, farming, who are interested in pets, who are interested in cooking, where you can build a business, you know, with the cost basis that we have now. And yes, you can make money. You might not end up being, you know, of the size of you know, Reed Hastings in terms of the riches that you make, but you can definitely build a business online.
Greg, final question for you, and this is personal. Esports has already gotten on the bandwagon of internet consumption. The NBA has a couple of variants of that. But football, you know, they're not doing that. How long more before they can't ignore this sort of Netflix style or Disney Plus style football consumption, where you can consume your sports coverage via a la carte package or something like that? Do you see this happening soon?
I see it happening. Look, you know, the football, especially, you know, the English Premier League, Man City, if you're interested, is bound up with the television rights and, you know, the millions of dollars that traditional broadcasters have paid for access to these rights.
200 plus million, I think.
Yes, yes. But actually, we have three providers across this region who are delivering English Premier League content. I mean, you talked about esports and the new ways of consuming the content. You know, it, depending where you look, you can find that, whether it be the game version or the reality. And, you know, as I said before, you know, as they do, NBA has been especially good at embracing the internet generation, allowing, you know, customers to create highlight clips, etc. And I think as the rights unwind from these major sports franchises, you will see more of a democratization of the content and a diversification in the way that people are consuming that content.
And make that price come down.
Yeah.
It's so expensive.
It's so expensive. Greg, I hope you're not a Man City fan, huh?
I am indeed, yeah.
Okay,
have we fallen out? I do hope not.
I'm on the red side, so that ends this conversation, Greg.
Yeah, you're describing family life for the Armshaw family back home.
Greg Armshaw, Senior Director, Solution Sales, Asia-Pacific at Brightcove, on the line with us. Greg, I really appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.